I'm Georgie Crawford. This is the Good Glow Podcast. We all have a story, and I believe by telling these stories, we can inspire and empower each other on our self-care journey. This season, I've teamed up with ReproMed, Ireland's leading fertility clinics. Having been through IVF myself, I understand how daunting a fertility journey can be. I'm proud to partner with ReproMed, whose world-class team offer the expertise, empathy, and compassionate care needed to help and support you. With clinics in Galway, Dublin, Cork, Drogheda, and Kilkenny, they are never too far away and will do everything possible to help you grow your family. Visit ReproMed.ie for more. And now their sister clinic, ReproScan.ie, is available for early pregnancy and gender scanning. Hello and welcome to the Good Glow Podcast. I am so excited to bring this podcast to you today with my friend Nicolene Walsh, who... Oh, where do I begin? So Nicolene is a Reiki master. She co-founded the Healing Forest in Kiltearnan, which is an amazing place where you can go and find some peace and connect with yourself. But Nicolene and myself have been friends for 10 years, and I suppose we never really have had the opportunity along the way to really sit down and talk about her story and where she came from. I'd heard bits of her story from Jamie, but I don't think she was ready to fully tell it until very recently. Nicolene grew up in Africa, and she speaks on this podcast about, you know, when she was a young child, getting the sense that her sister, or who she thought was her sister, was actually her mother. And this is such a personal story. There is so many life lessons in this podcast. I'm so grateful to Nicolene for sharing her story and being so vulnerable. And, you know, as you listen to this podcast, you'll understand, you know, probably how terrifying it was, or it is, for her to tell her story. And then at the end, we speak about, I actually loved this. Nicolene speaks about how she helps people discover who they are, but also who they are not, which I think is a really powerful tool. And if you're looking to kind of go on a journey of self-discovery, I think this will really help you. Before we get into it, I just want to let you know that there's limited tickets available left for the Good Glow Live. We'll be in the National Concert Hall on May 30th. We're going to have talks, we're going to have interviews, we're going to have live music, we're going to sing, we're going to dance. And I really want to give you an amazing night and leave you feeling so inspired. So please join us. You can get some tickets on nch.ie. So let's get into Nicolene. I hope you enjoy. If you do, please get in touch and let me know what you think of the podcast. Nicolene, my friend, welcome to the Good Glow Podcast. And where do we begin? We've been friends for 10 years. And I was saying to you last week that I was always, I suppose, a bit nervous to ask you about your story, about your life. So I'm so grateful. I know this is a big deal for you to come onto the podcast today. So thank you for sharing with us today. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little bit nervous, and I'm a little bit excited, all rolled into one. And I'm very grateful, Georgie, for you giving me the opportunity to speak my truth, because it is about me speaking my truth in hopes that other people will be encouraged and inspired to also speak their truth.
Bring us back to the start. Where were you born?
I was born in West Africa, Ghana, as far as I'm aware, I think I was born in Kumasi Hospital, which is not that far away from MIM in West Africa, Ghana.
So tell us about those early years and what you know about your life.
So kind of some of the memories that I would have is like spending a lot of time outdoors, a lot of time, spending time in pools and in pine tree forests. And it's interesting because the pine tree forest, you know, is part of one of the reasons why I'm in forest bathing. But just bringing it back to childhood, a lot of time spent outdoors, a lot of times, you know, spent free to roam the land, basically.
And who did you know your mother to be at that point?
At that point, this is where my story, some parts of it are not very clear. And this feeds into a lack of communication in my early years in regards to family dynamics. And just kind of thinking back to it now, it's almost like, well, when did you even like realize that your mum was your mum? And that isn't really clear to me. So growing up, I grew up believing that my grandparents were basically my mum and my dad. And then at some stage in my journey, I would have realized that actually one of your sisters is actually your mother. But as to the communication around, how I discovered that or whether I was told, I don't have those memories to support that. I just know that at a certain stage in my younger years, I realized that your sister, one of your sisters is actually your mother.
So would there have been a huge gap then between you and who you thought were your siblings?
Growing up, there was. I mean, yeah, I looked at my sisters as my sisters for a while, but I suppose when I kind of started to like know or get a sense of, you know, this person is your mum, it was weird. And I don't actually to this day believe I've actually ever had that conversation to really tune into some of the gaps in my early years in regards to being able to identify that, like, yeah, this is really my mother.
So when you speak about, you know, your childhood then, for what age were you when you came to Ireland?
I came to Ireland, as far as I remember, when I was roughly 7.
What was your life like? Where did you live? You know, were you from a village?
We lived in a village called Mim, but like my grandfather in particularly would have had a lot of money. So from a well-off family, a very large family. And I would have lived in a compound. And in the compound, each wife would have like had their own house, let's say. Now I know that in Ireland, when you're saying each wife, it's like, what is one wife not enough? Is that implying that there is a few wives? Yes. in Africa at the time, polygamy is something that, you know, some Africans would choose to practice. And it's interesting because my grandfather is not an African man. You know, there's a mixture of, you know, Hungarian, English, blood there, and I don't have the full history in regards to, you know, how my grandfather ended up in Africa. As far as I know, it's that their family came there to create like a timber company. So they built a timber company, MIM Timber Company, in Ghana, and it was run by my grandfather and his brothers, as far as I know, and his it was in his family, basically. And then he ends up marrying my grandmother, who's the first wife, as far as I know. And then he would go on to have other wives, let's say, whether it was legally married or not. I don't know the ins and outs of that.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So why would do you suspect that your mother hid a pregnancy and a child?
This is just based on me and what my understanding is. And it's from talking to other family members as well, specifically my aunts. So my mum had me when she was very, very young. She was 17. And I would imagine that because number one, she's very young, and in those times it would have been a bit of an embarrassment, I would imagine, for a girl to have a child out of wedlock, the sign of the times, hey. But I would imagine that it was because of that potentially it wouldn't have been so free to discuss, you know, this is your mother, or this is not your sister, basically. And as I was saying, I don't really know when I really became aware of the fact that she's really my mum and not necessarily my sister, let's say. And that even though for years, you know, and even to this day, I still call my grandmother Mama, and I still call my grandfather Papa, because that's what I grew up with.
And did you feel loved in your childhood?
To be honest with you, no. And it's interesting because to the outside world, and even when I'm talking and I'm like, oh, you grew up outside and you grew up spending a lot of time outside with swimming pools and pine trees and lemon trees and orange trees. It sounds amazing. And it is amazing in one sense, but there is the reality of what the child is experiencing in those dynamics, let's say. And for me, I guess I wouldn't have really tuned into not feeling loved, or, you know, not truly feeling happy until I was older. And this is where I'm older and I'm experiencing low moods. I'm experiencing depression. I'm experiencing high levels of stress, and it progresses from there, like the low moods, depression, feeling suicidal, and then having to revisit my childhood in order to identify where has all this come from. So as a child, I would have classed myself as just getting on with things and playing with whomever, you know, would come into my space. But yeah, as an adult looking back over that, this is where there's a lack of being able to connect with your emotions as well, and knowing, you know, I'm really happy or I'm not happy. There's having the basics of I'm scared. But yeah, love in itself, it would be an area for me to continuously work on.
Mm. So for the first 7 years, then Did you go to school? Did you have friends?
Yes, I went to school in the local school. I had friends. My grandfather used to like throw some like amazing birthday parties for us. And in Africa, it would be a big deal for you to have access to like a cake being made for you. It's not like here in Ireland where it's someone's birthday and you just walk into the shop and you just buy whatever. It wouldn't really be like that over there at the time. So like when I look back over my childhood, I do have good memories, and I do have memories technically that aren't good. I do admire the space in which that I grew up in, and I do admire the freedom. But with the freedom and being free like that, it left me unprotected. So there's a fine balance of allowing a child to be free, but ensuring that their safety is catered for. So for me, for example, that freedom was great in one sense, but it wasn't great in another sense, because I touched on if you're giving a child that much freedom, it would be good to have a safety covered in regards to that. And the reason why I'm talking about that is because before the age of 7, I had experienced being sexually abused by one of the servants that worked in my grandfather's compound. And I would for years not tell anybody about it, because to be honest, Georgie, I don't feel that I really understood what had happened. And this is part of my story in regards to shaping who I am, but not necessarily defining who I am. All your experiences, they shape you. They do, but they don't define who you are. There's a difference. And in regards to me being very young and experiencing that and not, you know, not to understand what that was, I would carry that for many years.
Yeah.
And I would carry it to a point where my mental health would become affected. And then I would start to do the work to unravel, you know, who are you and why are you the way you are? So that's why I provide a service where I meet people wherever they are. And I just hold this space for them to be able to speak their truth and for them to be able to slowly and gradually connect with who they are and connect with who they're not. But going back to, you know, being under the age of 7, experiencing that, and then coming to Ireland. So I come to Ireland and I'm excited and I'm scared. I remember arriving at Dublin Airport and the first thing that kind of hit me was like, Jesus, it's freezing.
And why did you come to Ireland?
We came to Ireland, as far as I'm aware, to get educated. I mean, that's not to take anything away from the schools in Africa, but as far as I'm aware, one of the main reasons for us to be here in Ireland was to be educated. I'm not too sure if it's also linked in with some heritage in regards to on my grandfather's side, maybe there's a family member there that actually came from Ireland. I think there's something there. And then also there's stories of an Irish priest basically telling my grandfather, I think, to educate your kids in Ireland. I think there's some story there. I can't really confirm that one.
And did you come all together?
No, we came in stages. So as far as I know, my aunts and uncles, well, my aunts came first, I think with one of my uncles. And then I think I came next then. And by that time, my mum, you know, she's, you know, she's at a certain stage in her journey, basically. And she's starting her own family, basically. And so I come to Ireland, and I have, you know, the images of, you know, arriving into Ireland, and the first thing I'm feeling is that it's really cold. Mm-hmm. And then I have like memories of, you know, yeah, I'm excited and I'm kind of nervous. And I think that a part of me had built this image of me coming to live with my mom and experience being with her as my mum, but it would quickly transpire that that's not the way it was going to be. And I'm going to try not to cry. I would struggle. I would start to struggle as a child and start to have feelings of, you're not good enough, there's something wrong with you. But I would keep on going, and I would spend a lot of time on my own in my room, and I would eat a lot as a way to comfort me. I'd eat a lot, and I'd get into a lot of trouble for eating a lot. So I became a secret eater, let's say, but not so secret eater. So I would use food as a coping mechanism to support me with my feelings, let's say.
And you were living with your granny, yeah, and granddad, basically.
So in the early years, I would have been living with my my grandmother kind of predominantly. And then when I come to Ireland, I would go to live with my mum, and it just wasn't what I, you know, as you can imagine, a 7-year-old innocence and excitement of dreaming of living a certain way, let's say. It didn't really go the way I dreamed, but that's okay, because dreams change. That's the beauty of dreaming to start off with. You can dream anything.
And what was your relationship like with your mum? So you lived with your real mum.
When I came, yeah, to Ireland. So when I came to Ireland, I lived with my real mum. When I was in my younger years, I didn't get to see her that much because she was studying, and she was studying in Ireland. So I didn't get to, like memory wise, I don't have loads of memories of seeing her every day, let's say.
Yeah. But it was acknowledged that she was your mother then.
I would imagine so, because my memories is that I know I'm coming to Ireland and I know that I'm going to see my mum.
Okay.
That memory is there. And that's why I was saying that throughout my journey, it's very obvious that there is a lack of communication, yeah, within our family. And that's where there are gaps then for me to try to fill as an adult.
And so it was like, it was hidden in Africa, but then when you came to Ireland, there was no secret. She was your mother in Ireland.
Yeah, she was my mother in Ireland, but it would start to get interesting because she would never introduce me as her daughter.
Right.
And like, just imagine, like, you're 6 or 7 or 8, and those kind of conversations aren't being had with you. So you're just kind of going along with stuff, and you don't, you're living, but you're not really living, because you don't really fully know what's going on.
That is so confusing. What did you call her?
I never called her my mum. I always called her by her name.
Right. Did she have children, for more children at this point?
more children at that point when I came to Ireland. That would kind of come a little bit later. I think maybe, I don't know if it's a year or two, I'm not 100%, but I have half brothers and sisters from my mum's side. I would experience a lot of a sense of lost, but not identify with the emotion that, like, yeah, you're lost, but you're lost because there's a lack of communication occurring in your experience.
So being a 7-year-old and thinking you're coming to live with your mom and have this fresh start, and then to be that feeling of being denied by her. And listen, Nicolene, like, we're both on the same page that we're telling your story, and there's absolutely no judgment on your mom for whatever was going on in her life.
Yeah, I mean, like, when I, you know, decided to tell my story, I had to really, you know, check in with myself in regards to where am I in regards to the different relationships and, you know, where am I in those relationships? And, you know, I was saying it to you, like, in regards to my mum, I don't know the ins and outs of her journey and what she experienced. I can only speak about my journey and what I experienced. And when I look at some of the things that I experienced with her, I started to kind of, you know, understand that, like, well, maybe if you were going through this, you would have been like that.
Yeah.
And that would then help me to understand myself while understanding her, and it would help me to understand who I am, understand who I'm not, and also it would help me to release myself emotionally from some of the experiences that I had with her. But I would imagine that if you are 17 years old and you're pregnant with a child and you're in an affluent family, and it's not the done thing, I would imagine that that's really, really hard.
I hope you are enjoying my podcast with Nicolene. She's certainly bringing us on a journey today, and I'm so excited for her to speak about how we can discover who we are and who we are not. It's really insightful, and I got so much from it. So that's coming right up. But first, I wanted to take the opportunity to thank ReproMed for supporting The Good Glow. A fertility journey is so personal, and ReproMed pride themselves in taking compassionate interest in your care. Having spent time with the team, I know they will provide you with everything you need to know about treatment options in a safe, supportive, and honest environment. ReproMed.ie is packed full of information on IVF, egg donation, fertility preservation, and so much more. Visit ReproMed.ie for more. And did you ever find out who your dad was, or ask that question?
This is another interesting part of my story. So the person on my birth cert father-wise is not my father. So there's another communication gap there. And that would be hard for me. That would be very hard for me because, number one, you know who your mum is, but, like, she's not really telling anybody that you're really her mum. So that's interesting. And then there is, oh, yeah, who's your father? Who's your father? And this goes on for years. And then I get my hands on my birth cert and I see the name and I'm like, oh, so this is my father. Oh, my God. And then I have a conversation with one of my aunts and then she reveals, oh, the person on your birth cert is, that's not your father. And I'm like, what? And then I'm like, wow. So where do I start in regards to trying to figure out, you know, who I really am and who I'm really not? And the sense of identity then, that's going to be a whole other piece to work on.
And did you know the man that was put on your birth cert, Nicolene?
No, never met him. Never met him before. And I would hear stories again about my mum in regards to like a certain guy coming to our compound claiming that he was my father, let's say. But I've never been able to kind of explore that too much. And when I say I've never been able to explore it too much, like I've asked family members and they all like tell me to the best of their knowledge what they're aware of. And I know that you can do more, you know, you can investigate more. But this is where I don't feel that right now at the stage of the journey that I'm at, I want to explore that. I have had, you know, periods in my journey where I have been curious and I have, you know, asked more questions. But right now where I am in my journey, I don't feel that it's something that I want to explore at the moment, because I'm quite happy with where I am in my journey and kind of understanding myself in regards to what I am and what I'm not.
I would imagine that. Would you tend to, so I'm a catastrophizer. So when you think about your dad or your father, do you have a story like that you've made up and that you tell yourself that may not even be true?
Yeah, like the story I tell myself is that God love my mother. It sounds like she had an awful time. It's still no excuse in regards to how she chose to behave at times. And I play that back to myself, you know, in regards to me. And you're constantly making choices and there are actions that come out of the choices that you make. So I tell myself that story. And then I say, because I'm saying, like, you know, God love my mum, it then allows me then to go right. So in regards to the father side of stuff, well, if she's not potentially too sure who it is, how can I keep on kind of exploring that? And then I have, so that's that story. Then I have another story that I tell myself, which is that, my God, maybe like your dad is like this amazing man and like he didn't know about you, and maybe when he finds out about you, he'll like rock up at your door in some fancy car or something, and he's gonna be like, I've been spending all my life looking for you. And then I piss myself laughing. I go, as if. So there's two stories depending, you know, one is the real dream, and then the other one is more the reality of God love my mum, and you know, why would you want to explore more of that? So I suppose there's kind of a bit of a respect there in regards to boundaries and,
yeah,
you know, leaving it at that. But it doesn't stop me from asking family members every now and again questions when I am experiencing a bit of an identity challenge.
And did you get to have a motherly relationship with anyone in your life?
Oh God, yes. My beautiful, beautiful, beautiful aunt, Josephine. Oh my God. Like I would experience things, gosh, I hope I don't cry again. I would experience things with her that would really help me to, it would really help me to find a way to accept myself. It would really, she would really help me to be proud of who I am. She would really help me with that. And even when I started my business, she was like, Nicolene, I'm so, so proud of you. And I love that you're helping other people. And I just always knew that like this was possible with you. And she can't sing enough of my praises, and it's just really, really nice. And for her to give me permission to say that this is my mum, even though she's my aunt, that has been really huge for me.
So your Aunt Josephine gave you permission to call her your mum?
Yes.
Oh my God, Nicolene.
And it's...
Can you remember that time? When was that?
So I think I was either 17 or 18, and I was having a conversation with her, and she said, you can call me your aunt if you want, or you can call me your mum if you want. It's up to you. And Geordie, I can't even begin to explain what that felt like. It was as if, like, for years I hadn't really been seen. And when I would go into counselling, one of the things that she would help me with is that she would say, you've always been looking for that person, that mum person. And she obviously, you know, sensed that about you. So she gave you that. I'll never be able to pay her back for that. But, and I often joke and say, you don't know what you did for me back then, because what she didn't realise is that before I went to live with her, I had thought of different ways not to live here anymore. So I would have been quite suicidal, but wouldn't have shared that with anyone until I would get to be a little bit older. And even as I say, you know, being hugged would have been a foreign experience for me. And so my first kind of hugs would have been from my aunt, and she gives amazing hugs. So she would gift me with something that you can't buy. And that's why I say that the universe is interesting, because the universe does give you people that are there to lift you. You just have to tune in into that.
So you went to live with Josephine when you were 17, is that right?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that's interesting, because like my mum had me when she was 17, and then I ran away from home. I ran away from living with her when I was 17. So myself and my daughter, because my daughter is 17, so we often joke and go, oh, what are you going to be doing now? You're 17. So, my mum had me at 17 and I ran away when I was 17. So I wonder what you're going to do. touch wood, nothing too wild.
Tell me about, did you take Josephine up on the offer of calling her mum, and what was that transition like?
Oh my goodness, yes, I did, and I really needed that at the time. It was as if for the first time, as I was saying, like, you were actually seen, like really seen. And she would show me so many like amazing examples of, you know, a mum, and, you know, the mum role. And she had her own challenges, you know. I'm not saying that everything is all rosy, but, you know, she would have her own challenges. But the gift that she gave me, I will be forever grateful for. It's always interesting for me personally that my mum and my aunt are sisters, and that they have been raised by the same parents. And I'm saying it and I'm laughing because, sure, I look at my own kids and, yeah, myself and my husband are technically raising them the same way, but they're all very unique. Mm-hmm. in who they are and the choices that they're making.
If someone had have asked you when you were 10, who are you? What would your answer have been?
I would have been like, I don't know who I am.
You don't know. Now, who are you?
I'm going to pause. So who am I? So I am someone who can communicate with anybody at any level. It doesn't matter. I am someone that can facilitate anybody talking about anything in a manner that sometimes they get shocked because they've just met me and they feel safe and they talk about things that they've never spoken about to other people. And to me, it is an absolute honor and a privilege to be able to hold that kind of a space for someone who needs it and for someone who is ready. So that's who I am. Who I'm not is someone who is like whinging or moaning about like, this is not working. I probably do for like 2 seconds. And then I'm like, what gear are you in? Are you in powerless gear? Or are you in, you know, powerful gear? And I snap out of that. And then I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, change the gear. And then I'm like, yeah, I am powerful. Yes. Yeah, so this is what's going down. And then, yeah, it's, I definitely have, just like anybody else, you have different sides to you, who you are.
Can you tell me, how did you feel when you held your baby girl in your arms? Because I have had people on this podcast who have shared stories of them being adopted and then going to have their own child and it bringing up thoughts about their mother and what she went through. You know, did, when you gave birth, did it bring up a lot for you about your own mother?
Yes, it definitely did. And that's why I started to make certain commitments within myself. So like when I first held my daughter, I was very overwhelmed and I overwhelmed with joy. And if I'm being honest, with sadness as well, because it started to kind of become very transparent for me that, like, how can you give birth to someone and not acknowledge that they're yours? So that was something that I would explore. And the other thing as well is, how can you give birth to someone and not make sure that they're protected enough? So that would raise another thing within me. And then the other thing that it would raise as well is that, how can you give birth to someone and be like that physical with them? So that would raise another thing within me. And that's why I kind of go back as well and I say that your experiences, they shape you, but they don't define who you are. So for me, I would have experienced being, you know, physically hit. And that would have been the done thing in Africa at the time. You know, sure, in the schools, they'd have no problems caning, you know, caning you because you haven't done your homework or you can't answer a question properly. So that would be like, that's a sign of the times, and that would have been normal. But I've never laid a hand on my daughter like that. I actually just couldn't. So it definitely brought up, but I've experienced that. So I've experienced the physical stuff. And that's where I really got to tune into the fact that the experiences shape you, but they don't define who you are. And it isn't an excuse. Just because you experience being hit, it then doesn't give you the right to hit your children.
Yeah.
And so just because I experienced that, it's as if a part of me just point blankly refused to pass that on.
I came up to the forest for a Reiki session with you, which was absolutely incredible. And one of the defining moments of my 2021, because after that Reiki session, Nicolene, you gave me a little life coaching session, which was unexpected, but also absolutely incredible and opened my eyes to so much and taught me so much. So thank you so much for that. So people can find you in the Healing Forest. That's where you're doing all this incredible work and you're helping people. What would you say you help people with?
I would say that the main thing is about supporting people to speak their truth. And also about supporting them to understand who they are and who they're not, and supporting them as well to be okay.
And what happens when we speak our truth? Like if someone is they're like, okay, I'm going to try to speak my truth. What's waiting for you on the other side when you speak your truth? Is it like freedom?
Yes. Oh gosh. Sure. Look at where I'm sitting now. Like a few years ago, if you said, you know, go on a podcast, my self-esteem was so low. There's not a chance. You know, so this is a result of me learning to speak my truth. This is a result of me learning to know who I am. This is a result of me learning to know who I'm not, and it's okay. So that's the power of being able to speak your truth. Yes, it is. There's, you know, being liberated is one of the feelings that you can invite into your energy system. It's also a release. Like when I first started to talk, and even when I arrived, I was like, oh my God. Right, I'm really doing this. But I can tell from my whole energy now, I'm calm, I'm relaxed, I'm me.
Yeah, you're free. You're free, Nicolene. Oh my God. If that's not an advertisement for speaking your truth, I don't know what is. And that, what you're saying about figuring out who you're not. Whoa. Because for me, right, some days I would have negative thoughts because I'm not good enough. I'm not going to do this. I'm not, you know, what will happen if this doesn't happen? And what if I'm not the most successful person in the world, right?
Yeah.
Why do I want to be successful? Well, because, you know, I want to have a nice life. And what would that nice life look like? Oh, well, it would require me spending time with my family. So ultimately, what I want in my life is to become present. And that doesn't require being the most successful person in the world.
Yes.
I have it. I have that. I have everything I actually want.
Yeah.
So that was like a huge thing for me to figure that out. I don't need to work myself into the ground all day, every day, because what I really want from life, I have.
Yeah.
So figuring out who you are not or who you do not want to be. People could be working themselves into the ground, living a certain way. And when they sit down and think about, why am I actually doing this? Because I don't even want to become the person I'm trying to become. it blows my mind. Am I explaining it right, Nicolene?
Yeah, you are. Like, I mean, when I say things like, you know, who you are and who you're not. So it's like, for example, social media kind of plays a certain role in regards to some of our experiences. So what I've been learning is that, well, that's not who I am. So I don't have to feed into that. So that's knowing that you're this way or you're not that way. And also in regards to like, let's say alcohol as an example, and you know, if you're around certain individuals that are into consuming certain amounts of alcohol.
Certain individuals like Jamie and Georgie.
I didn't say that. I'm like, that's not me. That's not who I am. Do you know? I'm someone who's more into, yeah, let's have a chat. And yes, I can do the wild stuff as well. And I don't need the alcohol to do the wild mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I've noticed in my journey is that we're constantly striving for the way things were before. And I can relate to that. And I can understand why. Yeah, obviously, before I had my children, I was a certain size. And I'd like to go back to that. I do get that side of it, but I've learned that it's about working with what you have at each stage in your journey.
Yeah.
Those things are amazing, but it's past, it's present. So in your present moment right now, work with what you have. And that's very powerful when you start tuning into, well, I've got this. Okay, I don't have that, but that's okay. Maybe, you know, would you like to do something about that? So it's breaking things down and not tuning back into what was or, you know, so it's right now, you know, what's going on for you, working with what you have available to you. So yeah, like I definitely relate to like being present for me is very important.
Nicolene, I am so grateful to you for telling your story on The Good Glow, and I hope you enjoyed the experience, and I know you're nervous, but thank you so much for sharing. And it's so nice to hear your story in full and understand more about who you are. You're such a great friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Georgie, for having me, and congratulations on your award.
Oh, thanks. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Good Glow podcast today. If you'd like to connect with Nicolene through a Reiki session or a forest bathing session, you can check her out over on thehealingforest.ie. And I've been up there myself, and it's just the most incredible experience. So you'll really get a lot out of it. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to join us at the National Concert Hall, you can get some tickets at nch.ie. We're going to have an amazing night. We've got the Dublin Gospel Choir. We're going to hopefully leave you feeling very inspired after our show. We hope to see you there, and I'll talk to you next week.